Welcome to the 2024 Candidates Forum for the City of Pismo Beach. My name is Ed Cabrera. I, and a number of other people, volunteers for the League of Women Voters, have stepped forward to make sure that you have the opportunity to access your candidates. First of all, we thank the candidates, not only for your courage to run for public office, but also for attending tonight's forum. Because there is no richer opportunity for citizens of a municipality than candidates forum. Let me introduce you to some of our volunteers. First of all, probably the most important in the room, not I, the most important person in the room is Cynthia Pretzel, our timer. She is going to tell the candidates when time is running out. She has three different paddles that she has to juggle. She doesn't drop them on the floor again. She tells people when they're a minute out, 30 seconds out, and of course, the all dreaded, well, in some case, yes, forgiving stop sign. So tonight, the format is 2 minutes for opening, 1 minute to answer a question, and 1.5 minutes for the closing statements at the end of the evening. Our runners that you met tonight, the people who passed out the three and a half by five cards, and I know you wrote just one question on a card, and I know you wrote legibly. Those questions are then sent to our sorters. Our runners are Linda Busick, Kate Christensen, and Laura Glenn. The sorters are Cheryl Whitney, Jean Slater, and Ann Havlick. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to make sure that the questions that you give them are pertinent. If someone asks them, why don't we have a ceasefire in Gaza, that question will not make the cut. I don't think it concerns Pismo Beach politics. Could be wrong, but I think not. If a question has already been answered by the candidates, then that question will be thrown out. If the question is just aimed at one individual, that will be thrown out. If a question is not legible, well, we can't help you there. So we're going to be asking the same question to everyone. Prior to this evening, what we did is we sat people in an order that we determined by draw. So the first question will be answered by Mr. Waggy, followed by Mr. Newton, then Mr. Scangarello, then Ms. Guthrie and Mr. Kriowski. The second question, the first person to answer will be Scott Newton, etc. You're a smart audience, you can figure this one out. So this time, Mr. Waggy will be the last person to answer the second question. And in that way, everyone doesn't have to worry about being the person to answer the question first. No housekeeping. Turn your phones off, please. Out of respect to the candidates and out of respect to your fellow audience members. Also, I've been told that the bathrooms are down the hallway. Sorry? That's what I said, outside and down the aisle? Yes. So let's ask the first question. Oh, yes, you are right. By the way, the time tonight parameter is 90 minutes. So we will promptly cease at 7:30. You can count on it. Mr. Waggy. Oh, that's right. You said it was okay if I asked you or called you by first name. Ed.
Yes, just don't get confused with your first name, please.
Can't happen. Your opening statement, please.
Thank you very much. Ever since I retired, I had two careers as a university professor and a emergency services professional. I've been serving my community in several ways. I was served on the Pismo Beach Planning Commission, on the City Council, and as mayor. I've also served on several nonprofit boards of director. When first elected, I said I wanted to fix up the city and keep us safe, and I've kept that promise. I led the effort to build a brand new fire station here in Pismo Beach, and it's 100%, almost 100% paid for by the tourism. That new fire station will reduce response times by 90 seconds, which can help save lives in certain circumstances. Also, we're building a brand new police station. Again, both are on Bella. They're under construction now. The other part was to fix up the city, and the downtown needed the most work, so we start on that, followed by the Shelby streetscape with a multi-use path to Shelby Elementary for the school for students. Paving project, we just completed a historic two-year paving project. We've repaved one-third of all the streets in the city to help our residents get around better. We just finished putting in new playground equipment at several parks, and we're about to, we've already gone to, going to bid on new tennis courts and new pickleball courts. We've completed several bluff erosion projects, which provide access to the beach, very important to all of our residents. And we're currently working on finishing James Way beautification. We did a lot of work in Shell Beach and elsewhere. Now we want to turn our attention to another part of the city, the south part of the city. And on the subject of fire safety, I serve as Vice President of the County Fire Safe Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Scott Newton. I'm running for re-election to the City Council. First of all, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for the forum tonight and the Pismo Chamber of Commerce for hosting it. As I complete my first term, I can look back and see that my work and life experience has greatly assisted me with this entrusted position. My background includes being raised on a family farm where working is not only a job, but it's your hobby and kind of way of life. I have started a business that began in my garage that quickly grew and became one of the fastest growing industrial supply companies in the United States. And I have experience in construction and land planning. My wife and I are also in the self-storage business and manage industrial and ag properties. 4 years ago, I ran for city council with one goal, putting our residents first. Quality of life needs to be the top priority in all the decisions that the city makes. And I am proud that during my term that we, and I'll warn you, this list is kind of long and may repeat some of the words from the mayor, but we completed the largest paving project in the city's history at over $15 million. Approved and broke ground on the new police and fire station. Rebuilt both Chumash and Palisades Park. Opened the new Morrow Stairs beach access. Approved new pickleball and tennis courts, Chumash Park. Created a new downtown police station. And we also approved and broke ground on the new police and fire station and the James Wade beautification project. Sorry for the long list, but we've been a pretty busy council, and it's really made this 4 years very enjoyable, and it's just been an honor to serve you.
Gianni.
Thank you. I'm Gianni Scangarello, and I will be running for my very first time for City Council, and I would like to thank the previous members here for all their work they have done over the last 8 years. I decided to run on behalf of quite a few members of the community that have asked, as we have seen a lot of fantastic projects that have happened throughout the last few years here in Pismo Beach. We also would like to see a little bit more focus on our business community and also on our locals. On our locals, the people who live here every day and also have to deal with some of the other challenges that we do have in our city. Now, this city is growing in leaps and bounds, and I work in the property management world. We need to work on our housing. We need to focus on our water, and we need to focus on the things that are for us in the community. We know the tourists will come because as we look out this beautiful window, we see the ocean is there. They will keep coming. We are grateful for where we live, and this is a beautiful community. I truly wanted to run as we look at this because as a single parent of a special needs child, the city donated a bench, and I want to thank all the people on this board to my son Joey. When they did that, it really showed me the sense of community that we are. We know our neighbors. I would like for us to continue that process as we can help with the building permit process and as we can grow in a positive way that keeps our culture together. Thank you.
Marcia, please.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the Pismo Chamber of Commerce and the League of Women Voters for hosting this event tonight. It's very important. My name is Marcia Guthrie, and I am seeking a third term on the Pismo Beach City Council. I have been a community member and small business owner in the city of Pismo Beach for over 28 years. During my 8 years on the Pismo Beach City Council, I have worked to maintain a physically sound and responsive government. To obtain that, I have worked with my fellow city council members to create policies that protect our quality of life. We have accomplished a great deal during my 8 years on the city council, from rebuilding the Pismo Beer Pier, renovating the Pier Plaza, reconstruction of the Bellow Street Bridge, the creation of the Shell Beach Guidelines, the creation of the completion of the Shell Beach Streetscape, the Bellow Street, bluff stabilization, and the paving of all of our city streets. Priorities going forward, I want to finish our general plan and local coastal plan, which serves as a community voice and a roadmap for future city councils. I want to complete the fire and safety center. The James Way beautification is just about complete. I'd like to get that finished. And I'd like to discuss find solutions for our residential and commercial properties that are experiencing bluff erosion and are in need of seawalls. I look forward to talking about these issues tonight in this forum. Thank you.
Kevin, please.
Thank you. Kevin Kriowski. I'd like to burn up a precious second or two and just have a moment of silence for everyone who's gone through the hurricane, those that have passed, and those that are suffering right now. Thank you very much.
Start his time now.
Oh, well, you're too kind, Ed. Thank you. Again, my name's Kevin Kriowski. Grew up here. Class of 78, Royal Grande High School. So that makes me a sexy 64, is the way I put it. after high school, played college football, then joined the U.S. Border Patrol. With the U.S. Border Patrol, started as an agent, went to supervisor, after supervisor, patrol agent in charge, and then ended as a deputy assistant regional director for the Western Region. Now, you're probably asking, what does that mean? What's my experience? Well, I've got experience doing comparably to what the city manager does for us now, but on a larger scale. I ran big operations, and the only thing different was that all of my personnel had badges and guns. So it added a little extra flavor, so to speak. Things I'd like to do for us. If you've seen me at your door, you've heard me tell you that I want to spend more time and attention on our residents and our businesses. We put enough money downtown. It's time to spread the wealth. I also want to tighten up on our litigation, and I also want to clarify and figure out what we have going downtown with regard to parking. There's a lot of confusion, and I think there's a way to bring it together so we bring more residents downtown to enjoy what we have here. And I'd like to keep us this small town beach community. Thanks for your time.
I want to make it public that all the candidates prior to tonight's forum signed a memo of understanding, vowing a certain level of deportment and civil discourse. I was a longtime teacher, and I'd like to challenge my seniors, because I taught 12th grade for a long time, by telling them how well-behaved last year's senior class was. And the reason I'm saying that is because I was a moderator at a forum held in Arroyo Grande. I was told beforehand, there's a lot of controversy at their board meetings. Look for trouble. I had and some of us volunteers were there as well. I have never seen a better behaved crowd, three times the size of tonight's. So here's your challenge. I know you can be just as well behaved. So even the smallest show of support, applause, can set us back and rob us of precious time. So with that in knowledge, in mind, let's ask our first question. Scott, what is your five-year vision for Pismo Beach?
You said I have 90 seconds. Yes. You know what, my five-year vision, and I'll just go kind of broad here, is I've been blessed to be able to raise my, you know, four kids here. My wife and I have greatly enjoyed it. And in 5 years, I want to make sure that this city is every bit, if not better than it is today. I think our city is the envy of all cities around. And that doesn't just happen on its own. It happens through a lot of hard work behind the scenes. And it's very important that we continue that path. Safety being one of the top priorities. Without safety, you have nothing. Funding our infrastructure and just providing for our residents a very responsive and active government. Thank you.
Jerry, I was told at the last forum that I should ask the same question again over and over so that people don't forget the question. What is your five-year vision for Pismo Beach?
Thank you for asking. My five-year vision, as we see some things that are showing up here in the community, we're seeing more and more vagrancy. We're seeing new laws that have been passed throughout the state. We need to toughen up some of our ordinances as we're seeing some of the panhandling and things that are happening in a tourist destination. Also, we have parking issues that we have worked with the city with. I was part of the parking committee that went over the hybrid plan. It's not a perfect plan, but it is trying to be effective. Also, we need to focus on our Shell Beachscape on the other side of the street, not just the walking path, and help build the building department and bring plan check back to the here, as opposed to sending it out of state, and just simply eliminate some of the time frames for the building issues for homeowners and business owners in this community. Thank you.
Marcia, what is your five-year plan?
Well, my five-year plan, I'm a little bit more specific. I would like to see a study done on downtown for outdoor dining. I would like to see a more pedestrian-friendly downtown in Price Street. I would like to see parking on the perimeter so it has more walkability. I would like to see, more affordable housing downtown. Just basically little tweaks to maybe take the cars, more of the cars out of the mix and make it more walkable for the downtown. And there's several things that we could do to accomplish that. Thank you.
Kevin, your plan, please.
You're supposed to read it again. You tell me you were going to.
No, what is your I'm just being. sorry.
You're going to be that kind.
So, biggest thing is, and I've had the luxury now, knocking on doors, talking with people who have lived here. Some lived here for a long time, some have not. And the biggest thing I'm finding is that each area is different. Old Shell Beach, Palisades, James Wade, the Highlands, the Heights. Everybody has different needs and wants, so I want to bring that together, and that's infrastructure. That means common threads, roads, streets. I don't know if anybody's been down Lemoore at the Heights, but oh my, going down it and up it is almost dangerous to try to walk. Shell Beach, we have the same type of challenge. I want to make sure that downtown our residents can enjoy it, and that's why I'm saying bringing figuring out a clarity, a parking plan where we integrate the meters and free parking and the residents know about it.
Ed, what's your five-year vision?
I've always made it whenever I did anything for the city, I always looked to try to find ways to make the city more healthy, safer, and secure. And what do I mean by that? Healthy, we put in additional playground equipment for the parks. That means our children can get out there and have a great time, my grandson especially, get out there and enjoy the new playground equipment. Safe, our new fire station and police station will be completed by then. We will reduce response times, as I said, by 90 seconds, which will can save lives. As far as traffic circulation downtown, the council has been moving forward on taking over Highway 1 from Caltrans, and that means we'll have more of an opportunity to find ways to move people around better. As far as parking goes, when we're done with the new public safety facility, we will vacate the area where we have a minute and a half already. Thank you.
Next question. Johnny, what is the biggest problem you see in Pismo Beach, and how would you solve that problem?
The fact that a good portion of the time the local won't go downtown. They don't have a desire to go down there. We need to bring them down there. We want them to be down there. It is where a large portion of our restaurants are and our businesses are, and they're owned by people who live in our community. And you can spend money in their businesses, and that will help them, which will help our community. It makes us a healthier, safer, happier community. That being said, we also have to respect the tourist that's coming here. We know where they're coming from. They're coming from the valley. And to gouge them on parking and to pay exorbitant fees every time they turn around, they will find different destinations. We need to respect the local, but also we need to appreciate the tourist. Thank you.
Marsha, in your opinion, the biggest problem and the answer to that problem?
Congestion downtown. I think that during certain times of the year, that's prohibitive for even locals or people circling our city trying to find a parking space. So there's several things that we can do, and one of the things I think Ed was talking about with the Highway 1 takeover, if the city decides to do that, there's a couple suggestions to help with the congestion. We can't do it right now because Highway 1 does not belong to us. It belongs to the state. So one of the things that we could do is a pedestrian scramble, which would allow pedestrians to cross, go anywhere they want across that intersection within a two-minute period of time, which will really help because then cars don't have to wait for pedestrians to cross. And there's several other ideas that have been, and one that I really like is perimeter parking. Am I over? Oh, is by the perimeter parking, which will place people on the outside of the downtown, and they can walk in. People are now parking at the Butterfly Park and walking in, so they're not afraid of walking. Thank you.
Kevin, what is the biggest problem you see in Pismo Beach, and how would you solve that problem?
Thank you, Ed. I do agree that downtown is a problem, but I believe you need to break it up, and staff does it really well by saying we have tourists and then we have visitors. Tourists are the folks that come and stay in the hotels. They don't really cause us a lot of congestion, but the visitors who come and want to enjoy the beach, they come in droves, and it's the old analogy, how many 300-pound linemen you're going to shove in a VW bug. So it's how many folks are we going to get down there and then try to entice our residents. But another thing I want to touch upon that I think is extremely important, and it has to do with our funding, is we need to stop with all this litigation that we're losing. We are losing millions of dollars in litigation, and it's something we need to take a look at. And it starts from the top and filters down. So that, to me, is important if we want to focus on our parks. Taking care of the abandoned buildings down at Shell Beach, and got it.
It is a minute, yes.
Oh, wow.
So it's okay. Ed, what is the biggest problem you see in Pismo Beach, and how would you solve that problem?
Yeah, I think we agree on a lot of this. The parking downtown and moving people around, and as Marcia mentioned as well, if we take over Highway 1, it gives us more opportunities to reconfigure some of the maybe one-way couplets in some streets. The other part is parking, as I was
talking about the, we bought additional space downtown, additional lots, and when those, when we are currently have our police downtown, when we're done with the public safety facility, we can convert that into parking. I think additionally, we need to find out how we can entice more of our residents downtown. We have a beautiful downtown, and if we can, and one thing we're trying to do is we try and remind them that we do have a parking pass for residents. It's $35 a year, and they can park in certain lots for the rest of the year at a one-time fee of $35. In addition, I think wayfaring signs would help. If we can move people around, tell them where there's no parking, where there is parking. Thank you.
Scott, what problem do you see? What's your answer?
I agree with all the comments that have been made, but, you know, long-term, I look at what's really the threat to our city, and that threat to our city is a lack of local control. And a great example of that is our Coastal Commission. And it not allowing our residences, our businesses to protect themselves. You know, when you look at our city survives on TOT, basically hotel taxes. And if you look at how many of those hotels sit on the bluffs currently, and if they are not allowed a process that's fair, that allows them to make repairs to those seawalls, the city's greatest source of funding will disappear very quickly. So if we want to be able to sustain ourselves long-term, we're going to have to be willing to take that challenge with the Coastal Commission. That may mean hiring attorneys that specialize in that, but more or less teaming up with other cities that have the same problem.
Thank you. Marcia, you lead off with this question. And there are a number of questions that refer to parking. And it was already alluded tonight about drawing people downtown. What are your plans to support locals who want to go downtown but can't afford to pay parking?
Well, I fought hard to, when the decision was made to put parking meters on Price Street, because I have an office, work in an office down there, and I realize how many locals come and go to Price Street, some of our businesses on Price Street. So Monday through Friday at noon, it's free. You can come down, you can have lunch, you can go to the wine shop, and you will not pay for parking. There is, however, a two-hour limit. And I would work to promote our parking pass, but if people don't want to pay for the parking pass, there are several parking lots that they can park in for free. And, you know, maybe the city could get creative with resident days with free parking, but that would be a hard thing to control. So that would be my answer. Thank you.
Scott or Kevin, how are you going to support locals who want to go downtown?
What I found that knocking and talking is that most everyone would be in favor of a parking pass, and it's not like the parking pass that we have now. It's a parking pass for residents to go anywhere and park for as long as they want, and they're willing to pay up to $120 for the pass. So anyway, that's most of the people. But problem being is that it's convoluted. Some folks know, those of us who grew up here, we know where the place across from Seaview off of Addy there where you can park for free, and there's other spots. But bottom line, the meters are a bit of frustration for our local residents.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Ed.
Did I get a spot?
Did you? I'm sorry, continue, please.
Did I anger you, Ed? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, it's all right.
Continue, please. I heard something else. You done? Okay. Ed, what are your plans?
Yeah, I think I've alluded to some of our ways. We mentioned we've been discussing parking passes. We just sent out a mailer to all the residents in the city advising them that they can get this parking pass to let them know, you know, we're trying to find ways to get them downtown too. Fortunately, in the off season, parking's not a problem. Traffic's not a problem. I think mainly it's during the 4 months of the summer and occasionally other times during the year we have a parking and congestion problem. I think I'll go back to Highway 1, too, when we take that over. It will give us opportunities to move people around better. If we can improve our circulation, I think that will also bring people downtown. I think, you know, residents love our downtown. They just can't get here at certain parts, times of the year, and certainly in summertime, we need to find ways to try to improve that. During the off-season, it's really not too much of a problem, and I agree with Marcia. I think having the parking free Monday through Thursday on Price Street is great.
Scott, what are your plans to support locals who want to go downtown?
Well, we have two problems there. You know, there's parking, but then the other problem really is congestion. And sometimes we don't necessarily have a parking issue. We have a congestion problem. And, you know, I look at it and say strategically, you have to put parking on your perimeter. Anytime you put your parking lots in the middle of the heart of the city and you put small roads leading to it, you're going to have people backing up. There's your congestion problem. Long-term, your strategy has to be, how do you acquire land along the perimeter? And I know people hate paying for parking, but how are you going to fund more parking if you don't have a way to pay for it? And I prefer tourists pay for those additional parking spots and not see it come out of our general fund. Also, for our residents, we are now with Price Street adding handicapped spots to Price Street, which was not there before, which would be a great addition. But at the end of the day, we want to see more perimeter parking, and I also want to see a way for employees downtown to have free parking where they can park in those perimeter lots.
Giovanni, what are your plans to support locals?
As a family-owned business that we have on Price Street, a lot of you guys I know have gone to Mail Plus in there and have seen our girls in there, and they work very hard in this community. We've lived through the parking of the last year and a half, and we added 14 spots. That's what was total added after all that. That being said, we're adding meters, and we're going to affect the tourism. It's not going to change. We do need to keep them because they're going to go in. However, Wednesdays, when we have our farmers market down there, we'd love to bring people down there. Let's make it a free Wednesday. Let's market and let's advertise to the community to come down certain times when it is for them. In the off season, in the car show and things like that, that's not the time. We understand we're coming down for events. But marketing and planning can be an easy fix. Thank you.
Kevin, you lead off. What commitment and plan and timeline do you propose to finally get our streets safe and improved?
Well, things we have to do is tighten up on losing, for instance, our last case, $2 million. We could have settled that case for $65,000. If we don't stop losing and making bad decisions on litigation, we're going to be spending money from different accounts. And that would, I remember when I was listening to the Chapman House discussion here in this chamber, the city manager was talking about how we could pay for the Chapman House and where the money would come from. That would be streets. Boy, I've just got some bad luck going on here. So and right now we're using money. For instance, the $2 million that we just lost in litigation came from our water funds, or was paid from our water funds, which I find to be atrocious. And when we're hiking rates over the next few years for CCB, Central Coast Blue, which is not happening right now.
Ed, how do you finally propose to get our streets safe and improved?
Well, one thing we've been working on is, and certainly is, our street paving project. As mentioned already, we've already completed one-third of all the streets in the city have been repaved recently. As far as safety goes, I've been a strong supporter of various programs to support our police. Among other things is to, we have license plate readers and so forth. So if a bad person comes downtown with a wanted vehicle, then we'll pull them over. And sometimes those are the kinds of people that will speed down streets and cause problems. We also, when we take over Highway 1, we can put in some additional crossings for pedestrians that would make it easier for pedestrians to cross at those intersections. Certainly, Dolliver Highway 1 is one of the most challenging streets to cross unless you're crossing at a signal, and that's what I would do.
Scott, how do you plan to finally get our streets safe and improved?
So in my first term, as others have mentioned, we've paved 35% of the roads. Now, part of the reason why we had to repave 35% of the roads is because some were neglected for many years. But I do believe now our attention has focused back on the essentials. The essentials is, number one, is public safety. Number two is roads. Number three is infrastructure. That's where you start. And if we don't maintain our roads, the cost that it takes to rebuild a road versus just maintaining it is, it can cost up to 20 times more to rebuild the road than just to maintain it properly. So it's on us to make sure that we always properly fund the maintenance, but also we cannot neglect the people that live on roads that have not been touched in 35 plus years. I happen to have the privilege of living in one of those I call cobblestone roads. And the problem is they just really cost that much to rebuild, but we have to put a long-term plan together that has every road listed and when they can expect for their road to be touched.
Gianni?
I'm glad you brought up this question. As we talk about road maintenance and as we talk about taking over Highway 1 and the entry to our city, which will create a significant amount of maintenance as well over time, more cost, while we're still trying to pave roads that we aren't paving as of right now. They are doing a great job, and they are trying to get through that, but they have been neglected. That is something that we do need to address. How do we address that? Well, a better plan. I see them jumping around and in construction, which I have been a very good background in, moving your equipment around and around is not the most effective way of doing it. Okay, thank you.
What plan and timeline do you propose, Marcia?
Well, we're part of the way there with our street paving program. We've replaced handicap curbs. We've tried to make our roads and ingress and egress safer. But where I think we need to work on is if we want people out on their bikes, if we want people out walking, then we need to make the bicycle paths safe because we make sure our roads are safe, but sometimes those bicycle paths have potholes and rocks and unsafe items that they have to either avoid or cross over. Ed was correct in our Highway 1, if and when we decide to take it over, the pedestrian safety improvements that are recommended will make a huge difference in that area, and as the pedestrian scramble as well, it will help keep people safe and cars and pedestrians separate.
Interestingly enough, Ed, if I was listening to Marcia's answer, this next question coincides with that. What is meant by taking over Highway 1?
Well, currently, Caltrans owns it, and when we're done, Pismo Beach will own it. We started this process several years ago. The legislature, several parts to it. The legislature had to approve legislation. That's happened. Caltrans has to support it. Ultimately, the California Transportation Commission has to make up the final approval. Before that last step, though, Caltrans had to fix up Highway 1, which they just completed. Dolliver Highway 1 was a mess, and before they can turn it over to another entity, they have to fix it, bring it up to standard. They've done so. So it's a multi-year process, multifaceted. We're almost done. Probably by early next year, we'll be ready for California Transportation Commission to make the final decision and approve it, and we will then own Highway 1. We will have complete control over it. We can't close it down. It is a highway, but we'll have much control over what we do on it. Thank you.
Scott, how do you define taking over Highway 1?
Well, kind of like I mentioned earlier, is us taking over Highway 1 is us going back taking care of a local control. And right now, we have no control of that road. You know, I don't think anyone here will disagree that it's not necessarily a pedestrian-safe road. To simply go by Old West on any day of the week and watch people running across the street. It's not safe. But guess what? We have no control over that. There's nothing we can do to put a pedestrian crossing there currently. Everything's approved through the state, and unfortunately, it's not an easy or quick process to do that. And if you go back and look at the timeline, when the city put the no left turn lane in and how long that took, and then we used to have a manual switch for it because they wouldn't allow us to have an automatic one, that tells you how it is dealing with the state.
Gianni, how do you interpret taking over Highway 1?
Taking over huge amounts of liability. We were talking about that it's an unsafe street. I don't believe if you put in one or two crosswalks, it will make it a safer street. It is a tight street. People are trying to look for parking. They're not looking forward. They're looking sideways as they're driving, and it opens us up to quite a bit of litigation. Also, maintenance. And on top of that, if we can't work with the state to get the processes through, then we have a bigger challenge. Thank you.
Marcia, taking over Highway 1 means what to you?
Well, there's not much more I could add, but basically what it means to me is that if and when the city decides to take it over, then we will have full control, as Councilmember Newton said, and in making it safer right now. I mean, I walk along that way quite often, and I see people running back and forth across Highway 1 over by the Butterfly Park. The Butterfly Park really is undervalued, quite frankly, but this will allow us to control our traffic within the Pismo Beach downtown better with the pedestrian scramble, and it will help keep our maybe keep the traffic flowing better with parking in that area as well. Thank you.
Kevin, what is meant by taking over Highway 1?
Funding and lots of it. But I do agree with Scott, Marcia, that right now pedestrians are in danger, and there's jaywalking, which isn't illegal anymore, and people are clipping along pretty good. And when you're trying to make a right or left onto the main drag there, or going through the Butterfly Grove there where people are pulling out away, not paying any attention, it's pretty dangerous. So, but funding, we're going to have to set aside funds to do what we want to do there pedestrian-wise and bicycle-wise with all these electric bikes. People are moving on those doggone things, and we need to make some space for them. But I don't want to see us take away from the challenges we have with our neighborhoods right now, Shell Beach and Heights and Highland. There's streets that need some tender, loving care for sure, okay?
Scott, what role do you think the California Coastal Commission should play in determining what residents of Pismo do with their property?
Well, the Coastal Commission, you know they've overstepped their boundaries when they are in court routinely. And what they've done to our residents and our businesses is basically drag them down a legal hole where they outspend them. And the Coastal Commission needs to have a well-defined approval process for seawall repair and maintenance, which is not there. Every single project is looked at individually, and there's not any equality in how they treat people. Certain people get seawalls approved, some don't. The way I look at it is they should have zones that are already developed, and the city should be allowed to approve seawall repair and maintenance within those zones.
Gianni, what role do you think the Coastal Commission should play?
The Coastal Commission in California has quite a bit of power and is flexing it right now. As homeowners, as business owners, they need to have the right to be able to salvage and preserve their properties. Not only should they be able to preserve their properties, they should be able to submit in a reasonable time frame and a reasonable permit process to do it. And yes, Scott was correct in the sense that they do need to have a defined guideline for us. So that way, when you do put your applications forward, it is either approved or denied on its merit, not for any other reason, which for a lot of cases, it gets denied for we don't know. Thank you.
Marcia, the role of the Coastal Commission?
Well, originally their purpose, I mean, was solid. There was a purpose for having the Coastal Commission, but I really think they've lost their way. Pismo particularly is very affected by cliff erosion, bluff erosion, and we have businesses and we have residences that are in need of seawalls, and the attitude of, oh, well, for me, is not acceptable. These houses have existed for many years. These businesses have existed for many years, and I believe that they should be able to do whatever they can to save their property, period.
Kevin, your opinion on the California Coastal Commission?
They should be an advisory board, period. And let's look back to the good old days when there was a grand land, a grant, to Price for what eventually became Pismo. And if my research is correct, we have up to the lowest tide as far as Pismo. And we should be making decisions on reinforcing the seawalls, the residences, so on and so forth. And all the other cities along the California coast should have that same authority. For them to be hypocritical and say that we can put a seawall in one area and not protect a residence, I think is wrong. It's your home, and you should be able to protect it.
You're last to Thank give your you. Comments on the commission.
Yeah, I agree. The original purpose of the Coastal Act was to provide coastal access, but our city has always looked for coastal access. We're trying to get people to the beach. That's a given. The trouble is the Coastal Commission over the years, even though we've been approved all these seawall projects that homeowners have a right to have, the Coastal Commission has appealed all of those, every single one of them, to the full commission to make a decision, and that's tied up all of these applications into knots. I've served 5 years on the Coastal Cities group, which is represented. I've been on the Coastal Cities, Coastal Commission Sea Level Rise Working Group. We've been trying to tackle that issue. And one possible way forward is this so-called neighborhood approach, where instead of parcel-by-parcel approval, you look at a given area for approval. That makes more sense. I would hope we could get something like that through and give relief to our property owners that have been suffering for a long time. Thank you.
Gianni. Many people in the Shell Beach neighborhood support retaining the Chapman Estate as an asset to the community. One, will you be voting to keep or divest the estate? Two, what steps will you take to ensure future public access and use of this beautiful historic property?
I live just up the street from it. I love that property. It is absolutely amazing. We all have had our pictures right in front of the windmill or the lighthouse. We've all done it. It is a great opportunity. It's another opportunity for us to market. It has unbelievable views and marketing views for that. That being said, I would be opposed to keeping it. It cannot sustain itself. And if it can't sustain itself, then we're just putting money into it. We have to bring it up to code. We have to do those things, and we've spent a lot of money to begin with already. If we can find a nonprofit that can take it, that would be the ultimate outcome, because that would ensure us access still. If we can't, it is time to divest from it. It is. Thank you.
Marsha, we'll shorten the question. The Chapman Estate, keep or divest?
Well, historically, I have never been in favor of making the Chapman House have enough events to pay their own way. It was physically impossible, and it was unfair to the neighborhood because it's located in a residential neighborhood. So in my opinion, the city needs to make a decision. Do we want to keep this and put money into it and embrace it as a local treasure? Or do we want to turn it over to a nonprofit? So with our vote, I think we decided for right now to turn it over to a nonprofit, and hopefully they'll be able to make a go of it. I don't think any of us right now are ready to say sayonara, but we would really like to find a way to keep it in our community because it is a treasure.
Kevin, your comments on the Chapman estate.
10 years ago, when city decided to take it in, I was not in favor. It just didn't make sense. In a historical building, but in a residence, a residential neighborhood. And I just didn't see how they were going to be able to raise the funds to take care of it. I mean, the assessment on it now, we're looking at $6.8 million to fix the seawall and everything else that's gone wrong and needs to be repaired. So, and the challenge is, too, unless we sell it, we don't recoup what we have invested in it. So finding a nonprofit probably will be a little challenging because of that seawall, but still, I think it needs to find somebody who can take care of it better than we can.
Ed, your analysis of the Chapman Estate issue?
Well, I wish we could find a way to keep it. It is a beautiful property. I know when there's events down there for the benefit of the Shell Beach residents, they love going there and just have a great time. But the expense has just gotten too much. We had a certain amount when the property was donated to us. There was some funding that Clifford Chapman provided in his trust that we could use, but that money's been spent. With the latest cost escalation of what that would take to keep it, it's too much really for us to put additional city money into it. If we can find a foundation that would take it over, that could run it for the benefit of the local residents in the city, that would be great. If we can't find some other way to manage it, then we would have to sell it. And the way it works in Clifford's will is that the city cannot make any profit off of it, just get back what we put into it.
Scott, the Chapman Estate question.
I also live around the corner from it, and I think you have to remember it's an absolutely beautiful building, but it's not a historical building. And that's the difference there is how do we spend as a city up to $10 million to repair it when, as a city, our discretionary money we have as a city council per year is only $3 to $5 million. That's a lot of money to put into a building that, no better way to put it is, we'd be granting the city special rules that we'd never grant anybody else. A private owner would never be allowed to have as many events that we're approving for a venue that has no parking, has immediate neighbors, and has impacts on those neighbors. So for me, the only way is to divest it because the city should not be operating a commercial property in a residential neighborhood.
Marcia, new question. What is your stance on Central Coast Blue now that Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande are out?
Well, this is the question of the hour, been asked by several people as I'm going door to door. Look, our droughts aren't over. The need for water isn't any less. Our partners are gone. So what I don't want it to die because it will be needed at some point. What we can do is move it forward as far as we can. We have some grant money. If we're able to use it for piping to move the Central Coast Blue closer to a finish point, when that next drought comes again, there'll be money. Did you hold up a stop sign? Okay, sorry. There'll be money for it because the money comes to agencies that are ready, and so we need to be shovel ready when this next drought comes again. I refuse to let it die.
Kevin, your stance on Central Coast Blue?
Well, let's see what happens with the election. Maybe we get together with the cities that were interested before and see if we can't put something together. Again, I want to see us stop increasing rates until we get that plan put together. I think the residents deserve not to be paying more for something that is not happening and be paying for or losing $2 million out of the water fund because we have to settle a court case. So CCB is viable, and I think there's other things that we can look at as far as water to put into that aquifer. But let's see what happens with the election and go from there.
Ed, your sentiments on Central Coast Blue?
Yes, we need to find ways to maybe put forward a scaled-down version of Central Coast Blue. I'm afraid our partners at this point won't be able to join us anytime soon the way the politics are. But I think the city can certainly look at a scaled-down version moving forward for now. As Marcia mentioned, the droughts aren't going away. There's another wrinkle here, too, which is an environmental group has filed a lawsuit against the county on Lopez Lake. They call it Habitat Conservation Plan. There is not an approved one by the National Marine Fisheries Service, a lot of folks involved. But that lawsuit has the potential for reducing our water supply from Lopez Lake, one of our three key water supplies. So we certainly need to look forward on ways we can scale it back. We've got like 80% design documents done. I think the studies tell us what we can do, what works. So I think we have the knowledge. We just need to try to find ways if we can find to move forward on that. The droughts aren't going away.
Scott, thoughts on CCB?
Yeah, I'll be quite frank, I was disappointed to see us lose our partners. To lose our partners, the partnership could have continued, even if the solution may have changed or the scale of the project reduced. Because, through a regional project, we can reduce the cost for everyone and also have more water for everyone. But instead, I don't know what's going to happen because these projects like this don't happen in 2-3 years design. This was 10 years of work that just went away instantly. And droughts occur way more often than that. We get in a drought, it's going to be, and we get in a dire situation, it's going to be too late for us and our neighbors. So I think moving forward, it's going to be Pismo moving forward on their own, watching out for Pismo.
Johnny, you get the last word.
A scaled-down version is the only way this could possibly move forward. The cost for it is astronomical now. You should ask the number from some of the people who have been here, who have been on this council. We are also happy to hear that the droughts are going to continue as we have been sitting here, and for 8 years we've been talking about what we're going to do about our water. Our water bills are going up and our quality is going down. We do need to have a solution. Water, seawater infiltration to our water would be absolutely devastating. We need to have a plan. But to say we're going to continue because we've spent so much money, we need to spend more, is just not a fiscally sound plan. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Kevin, next question. How do you plan to address the lost tourist revenue that is choosing to visit Morro Bay and other beaches?
I think there's enough out there for everybody. Judging from the tourists that I see downtown. But the big thing is, I think we have Solvang, we have Morro Bay, Paso's even coming around a little bit. Solvang doesn't have any meters, Paso's figuring out meters aren't the way. So again, meters make money, but so does TOT. Other things can make money. And those other cities are getting it done without the meters. And so without meters, you may get more people come in and visit, spend time without that pressure, because we have those new electronic meters. As soon as the time runs out, your ticket is, bam, it's in the mail. Also, if you stay over the 2 hours, pull out or don't pull out, you get the ticket. So thank you.
Ed, how do you want to recapture tourism?
Well, first of all, I don't think we're going to lose tourism. We haven't thus far when we put in meters. I think part of the problem is managing parking. Before we had meters, we found that the workers that worked in the restaurants and so forth would take all the prime spots up during the early morning hours, and when people came by to say go to the restaurant, in fact, there were no parking spaces. So there's a book someone wrote called The High Cost of Free Parking, and it's true. If you have free parking, it's not utilized to the best advantage of everyone. What the plan is to manage to use parking to do two things. Paid parking helps to pay for the parking program, acquire additional parking. also helps to manage the parking we do have more effectively than without it.
Scott, how do you keep those tourist dollars in Pismo Beach?
Well, last report I looked at said that hotel industry, we were 2% over last year. And at the end of the day, my focus is more on tourists, not day trippers. People that come and stay in our hotels, stay in our motels, have less negative impacts than the day trippers do on our city. They come, they park, they walk, they spend money. That's the clientele we should be chasing as a city. Also, if we did see drops, the reality is the events that we should be chasing are events that are maybe during the off-peak periods. We already know we don't need more tourists downtown in the summer. What we need is people coming off-peak Monday through Friday.
Marcia, how do you address this issue? Oh, Gianni, so sorry.
And I'm not very forgettable.
He's easy to miss.
I am shorter. No. For us, it's marketing. We need to market. We need to give a reason for them to come down. And Classic Pismo is a great way of doing that. It's a great building that you built down there for the parking services and everybody. Let's make it a retro town. You see the art that's up there. You see the things that are there. Let's bring the people down there. Let's give them a reason to come down there. Parking is going to be an issue, and we can talk about it ad nauseum. There isn't a lot of space down there to change. So unless you're moving other things out, you're not going to be adding parking. So let's try to bring people down for a reason. Let's give them events. Let's bring things down. In off-season time, absolutely. Those are things that can help the downtown community. Parking passes and things like that, those help as well. There are ways of doing that, but we need to outreach to our locals. The tourists will come. And they will not go to Morro Bay because they love us first. Thank you.
How about the tourist money, Marcia? What do you have to say about it?
Well, I believe that there's enough tourists for everyone. I like to go to Morro Bay some days, so I imagine others would too. But people also love Pismo Beach, and they will always come here. We have the beach. We have a great pier. We have a wonderful downtown plaza. And we have events during the off-season which help remind people that we're here. So I don't feel like it's a competition. I'd love to share the tourists with Morro Bay and all of our other coastal communities because when they succeed, we succeed, and along with Grover Beach as well. So when we're all succeeding, it's a good story. Thank you.
Ed, this question has been addressed more than once, but it bears repeating, because you might have some more ideas. How do you plan to support local small businesses?
And did I start the first one last time?
No, I think I just got that one. So
okay, it's my turn. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How do we support?
How do we support local small businesses?
I think what's one thing we've done through our Convention Visitors Bureau is to not just support the hotels, but also, which is where the revenue, a large amount of the revenue comes from, but also we're tourist destinations, so a lot of the small businesses are tied to tourism or have restaurants or other visitor-serving businesses, and that's something that our CVB has done over time is to include those kinds of businesses in our marketing efforts, so we're already doing a lot of that. Can we do better? I'm sure we can. We've been trying to also find ways to get residents downtown. If we can get more residents downtown, especially in the off-season, as I mentioned, we had the the low-cost parking for our residents. If we can bring more residents downtown, that will also help our businesses. So I'm certainly supportive of that as well.
Scott, how will you help small businesses?
Well, I'll say the one thing I think really separates Pismo is go downtown and look, and we are a city of small businesses. You don't see downtown filled with a bunch of chain stores, chain restaurants. It's mom-and-pop, family-owned businesses. So I think that kind of speaks for itself already that we are supporting them. And they do also get the indirect benefit of the hotel industry spending, I want to say, about $1.2 million a year in marketing to draw people here. And, you know, as long as we draw true tourists to Pismo, people that stay here, those businesses will directly benefit from it.
Gianni, you are a small business.
Yes, I am. And I have a great example of that. We cannot tax the businesses. We cannot come to them and tell them they need to add new signage that have been there for 10 to 15 years because they're saying it's not a permanent sign. Charge a $500 to $600, $700 fee to that small business and then never come back and even inspect whether it was ever even installed. That's what we need to do. We need to help the businesses in the plan check. We need to help them be able to update their businesses, update their buildings. We have buildings on Shell Beach that aren't able to actually do permits and actually get stuff accomplished because of the process, because of the slow walk process. And it's something that can be addressed. It's a simple thing. We can bring the plan check right back here into the building department. Thank you.
Marcia, how would you help out small businesses?
Well, I agree with Ed and Scott regarding the efforts as far as the CVB and the advertising and bringing people into the downtown. But there's another program that isn't advertised a lot that the city provides to our business owners, and that's if you do $5,000 worth of upgrades or improvements to your business, the city will match it. So that's $10,000 worth of upgrades, new awnings that the city will help implement to these businesses. And that can be a very big help. So that along with, you know, we don't do the Pismo Beach Chamber. They are the entity unto themselves. But participating in a business downtown on Price, it is like a family. You never feel alone. You feel like you have the support of the whole community, the chamber, the city. So that's my answer. Thank you.
Kevin, how are you going to help out?
Well, granted, again, parking is an issue, but we've already touched on that. I like Marcia and I talked about outside seating. That was pretty successful at one time for some during COVID for some of our businesses, and they didn't want to see it go away, and I thought it should stay. But big one is, and I want to focus, Gianni touched on Shell Beach, and I want to show talk about that example where you have five businesses that are abandoned. Two have really been trying hard. The one with a nice, beautiful sign, Dale's, it used to be Dale's Pizzeria. Anyway, the person that built it has great plan, but we have gone and put a deed restriction on them. And at this point, they can't afford, cost of square footage was down here, it's up here now. They can't do the project. Same thing with Alex's, okay? The kid that owns that, bought it from Compass Health, he same thing, can't do it. So we've got Speedy Gore, I gotta stop, doggone it. Okay, thank you.
You're gonna have to ask him after the meeting. Scott, how far out is the perimeter parking? And what will be the safety measures provided for those walking at night?
Perimeter parking can be anything. It can be moving to the, for example, to the south. And if you, for example, you look at the overpass, that pedestrian crossing we have, and you go during the peak season of summer, and what do you see? You see the outlets, and you see people trying to park there as the outlets are going around their golf cart chasing everyone out as they're pulling their ice chest across the freeway. That tells me people are willing to walk for parking if we provide it. Our problem with downtown parking is every spot we provide down there costs us around $80,000 per spot to generate a new one. We can't afford that price. We have to provide parking that's going to be on the outskirts and let people walk in.
Gianni, the question to perimeter parking.
Unfortunately, we're a landlocked city. We do not have a lot of additional space. We have to decide whether we how we want to zone it. Is it going to be residential? Is it going to be business? Is it going to be parking? And the people that we're asking to go out, yes, there are tourists, but a lot of the people that are working in our businesses, they're the people that are working in our restaurants and are working in our any of our stores. They're having to hoof it in. They're having to do that because they can't afford to pay for parking on top of working their salary and their job. These are things that we need to focus on. These are the people that live here. And those are the people that we need to work on passes and employment passes and things like that to help them be able to park in those areas. But perimeter parking, there's only a few spots to go around, and they're very limited, and we're in a coastal area where land is very, very expensive.
Marcia, perimeter parking, your feelings?
Well, I'm a fan because I've seen other cities do this successfully, such as Arroyo Grande. They have secured parking around their downtown, so you can park, get out, and walk the whole downtown and not even think about your car until you're done shopping. So, or lunch or whatever. So I think it's very doable. And people have proven to me they'll walk. They'll walk from the Butterfly Park. And we have several opportunities, land in this area, that I would fully support in perimeter parking. Because when I go to a busy coastal town, I park on the outskirts. So I don't have a problem getting out of there. I have no problem walking in down to the downtown. So I'm a fan of perimeter parking. There are spots that the city has eyeballed, but not moved forward on. Thank you.
Kevin?
Definitely. A lot of us locals will park at Finn's and walk all the way into Pismo. So we call it exercise and, you know, a little tourism. But how we could help them out, and something that really worked at Port St. Louis, is a trolley. Matter of fact, I think we had a didn't we have a trolley for a while? We had a trolley here. And so park on the outside and take the trolley in. It's kind of romantic, you know, and majestic, old-fashioned. Or, you know, there's other means. But parking on the outside coming in, I think that's what we've been doing for the Chapman House, too. That's been somewhat successful. Not everybody follows the rules, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yes, very viable, very doable. I'm waiting for that red sign. Come on.
Ed, your thoughts on perimeter parking, please.
I think it's a great idea. The challenge is finding places, and we've looked at place in the past, and we've identified some possibilities. That's one way we could certainly look at some kind of a shuttle system. The problem is with shuttle system, if it's pretty jam-packed downtown, the shuttle will be in traffic too. So there's some issues to work out, but if you can find a good place and find a good way to shuttle people, or just find a good, safe way that they can walk from where they're parked to get there, that's great.
This has never happened to me in my history as a moderator. We are out of questions. Now, I could owe part of it to the thoroughness of your answers, or maybe the snarky side of me is we want to go home and see the baseball game.
Well, there's a football game.
Yes. Oh, excuse me. I forgot about the NFL as well. Nevertheless, we have time for closing statements. Gianni.
Yeah. Right out of the gate.
And we have 2 minutes. We have 2 minutes because we have...
We got a little extra time.
Yeah. 2 minutes.
Okay.
Welcome to politics.
I appreciate that. My name, once again, is Gianni Scangarello, and I'm running for city council. I want to thank you guys all for coming today. I want to thank you guys for giving us the time, the questions. They were very thoughtful, and this is what I love about this community. You're here. While there is a Padre and Dodgers game on, yes, I appreciate your time. I really do. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm sorry. That being said, this community has shown an overwhelming support towards me and my family. It's why I chose to run. Like I mentioned at the beginning, my son has special needs. They have it throughout the community. Whether you're in downtown, whether you're up in the Heights, whether you're in Shell Beach, it doesn't matter. Whether we all know each other, we all know our dogs, we all know each other's kids. This is what makes this community special. I personally love when we see on, you know, even our Facebook posts of SOS where Effie's putting the history of Pismo Beach on there. There is so much history in this town that people need to know. There are sayings that people say around the world that came from this town, and we need to make people aware of that. This is what we have, and we are a community that looks you in the eye and says hello, and you know your neighbors. We're not pressing the button, going in the garage, and you don't know who's, you're looking out for your neighbor. So let's look out for each other. Let's keep our streets safe, and let's focus on what's important, our community, the people who live here, the people who play here, and all the tourists who come and love it here. And if they want to go to other communities, that's fantastic, because we know eventually they'll come back to Pismo Beach.
Marcia, final thoughts.
Well, I want to once again thank the League of Women Voters and the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce for hosting this event. And I want to thank all of you that have attended, taking time out of your day and evening to hear our ideas and comments on the from the candidates running in the City Council and mayoral race. So thank you very much. I'd like to continue being your voice on the council. I want to finish our general plan and local coastal plan update. I want to finish our fire safety center. I want to be a voice in deciding on whether we take over Highway 1 and the prospective pedestrian safety measures that we would implement. I want to be a voice in finding solutions to our residential and commercial property owners who are having bluff erosion and need a seawall intervention. I love this city, and I'm very proud of our accomplishments. I am passionate about our protecting our quality of life, and I have the tenacity to get things done. I would be honored to continue serving as your city council member, so please vote to reelect Marcia Guthrie on or before November 5th, 2024. Thank you.
Some final words, Kevin.
I do, Ed. First and foremost, thanks to everyone who made this possible. I appreciate it. It's good to be able to get out and talk to folks. That's been the crux of my campaign. I'm grassroots. Most of you probably have me knock on your door, leave a flyer. I'm not asking for donations because I feel that I'm the one that should be held accountable. And in a town like this, my hometown, I want to give back. And that's the reason why I'm running for mayor and have before. So, and I love what my counterpart here told me, because, you know, when it gets down to this point in an election, you're pretty tired, especially if you're that one-man band, you know, the little monkey slamming the cymbal and the drum and with a hat on. You get burned out. And sometimes you take criticism and what my counterpart said and really helped me out tremendously was that, you know, everybody who wants to judge should try running for a seat, for a position in government. It is not easy, not easy at all. What I want to do for you, and I sincerely, is focus on our residents and small businesses. I think we can do better with our attitude, okay? Our attitude here with the city, our attitude and actions. We need to take a look at the litigation that's going on and find out why we are losing, why we are spending a lot of money. We need to take care of the businesses down and specifically in Shell Beach. We've got one that's been sitting there, Speedy Gourmet, for probably 15 years. Nothing. Nothing is happening. So, and we're not doing our best to make sure that it does.
Ed, okay. Your final thoughts?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate, again, the League of Women Voters and the Chamber of Commerce for hosting this and everyone that came today. I'm running for re-election as mayor of the city of Pismo Beach, and I'm running on my experience and accomplishments. I touched on several items already, but I would like to touch on what I'm going to, if re-elected, what I'm going to do starting my next term as mayor. I'm a big proponent of fire safety. A lot of people are having trouble paying their fire insurance premiums or losing their fire insurance. And I serve as vice president of the County Fire Safe Council. Our council's done a lot of work on vegetation management to make wildfire less likely here in Pismo Beach and elsewhere. But we're also looking at ways that we can harden homes so that they're more likely to survive a wildfire. And also that should also help in their fire insurance ratings and other benefits. I supported the multi-use path in Pismo Beach, and now we have an opportunity to extend that multi-use path all the way up to Avila Beach to connect with the Bob Jones Trail. I serve on the Council of Governments, and we have an opportunity now to move that multi-use path, imagine all the way from where it ends now at Shell Beach Elementary, all the way through the rest of North Shell Beach, connect to Avila Beach and the Bob Jones Trail. Bluff erosion, as I mentioned, I have 5 years of experience working with the Coastal Commission, working a deal and trying to find out how we can best help our residents get through this whole permitting process. It's going to be difficult, challenging, but I know my way around the Coastal Commission and what they will and will not do. As I say, we've been working for at least a couple of years on this so-called neighborhood approach. I'd like to see that through. On the paving and drainage in Shell Beach, we need to do more, and I ask for your vote this November.
Thank you. Thank you. Scott, final words.
Well, first of all, you know how nice it'd be to come to a council meeting and see this many people? We come, I mean, honestly, it's like the same one or two people. This would be like a dream come true because the interaction and involvement is really what a council needs, because we need to listen to your direction, and without you present and involved, we don't have you as our guide. So I would just like to say to all of you, this is, please try to make this part of your routine once a month, once a quarter, whatever it is, but just show up, okay? But first of all, it's been an honor to serve you on these councils the last 4 years. I believe my record speaks for itself. When I ran, I said I was going to put our residents first, and I think I've continually done so. I love our city. What I really love about it is its size. You know, with only 8,000 people, I get phone calls all the time, and I actually feel like I can make a difference. You know, I'm not someone in Senate that gets, you know, 5,000 calls and you get no response, nothing done. Here, we're small enough where we can talk to the city manager, department heads, and we can actually get responses for people. And so when residents call me, I love it because that's what my job is, okay? I won't review all the progress we've made these last 4 years, but what we've accomplished these last 4 years is absolutely amazing for us being such a small town. I mean, just think about it, 8,000 people, and look at the projects we get done. Elect me, Scott Newton, City Council, and you have my word that I'll continue to work hard, put in the hours, and make our city even better. And thank you. I greatly appreciate your vote.
There are over 300 members in the local chapter of the League of Women Voters, San Luis Obispo County, the largest in the state. And we have numerous committees. One of the committees we've re-energized is a committee dedicated to bringing back civil discourse. Jean Slater is our chair, seated there in black. I'm colorblind, so I hope it's black. And Jean, I would recommend that you get a recording of tonight's session, because it was an excellent example of candidates treating each other with respect. You all deserve a big thank you for showing up tonight. And Kevin, no truer words were said that this isn't easy. So thank you. Thanks to all the volunteers. The volunteers not only show up tonight, they're involved in committee work as well. They are involved in presenting the pros and cons to the 10 propositions. They will also, probably the most enjoyable part of their work, is show up to high school campuses to register students. A lot of people don't know that we can pre-register 16-year-olds. So thank you for the volunteers for showing tonight. But the biggest thank you, and the real stars of tonight, I also echo your sentiments as to the amount of people that show up, because the mission of the League of Women Voters is to educate voters and to have them engage in the democratic process. You deserve a big pat on the back. And Arroyo Grande has nothing on you. Thank you very much. Thank you. One final thank you to the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for providing this valuable service to the community. You are so blessed to live in Pismo Beach. But then you know that, don't you? Good night.